You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Curtain of Theater people, welcome to your program, It's Your Ticket, coming to you from Midtown Manhattan, right in the middle of Broadway. My name is Sean Chandler, and I'll be your host. Your program, It's Your Ticket, is a discussion of smaller theater works and the people and organizations that make it happen. As many of you know, your program, It's Your Ticket, is a helpful system where your program is literally your ticket to get into the theater in smaller, more intimate productions. It's these works we like to highlight, and it's our goal on this show to feature as many of these productions as possible while still discussing the biggies. Tonight's show features an upcoming event that completely highlights our mission here at Your Program Is Your Ticket. On April 21st, the Ohio Village of Chagrin Falls will be holding their star-studded gala, Broadway Comes to Chagrin. This amazing event will pay tribute to community theater and to the role Chagrin Valley Little Theater plays as an anchor in their region, with proceeds from the gala benefit evening being used to continue the renovations of Chagrin Valley Little Theater's main stage theater building, which provides a continuing asset to art and business in the area. Among the many wonderful features planned for the event are wine, beer and bites, tours, a live auction, and a performance of Smokey Joe's Cafe featuring a star-studded Broadway lineup and fabulous local talent. And when they say star-studded, they aren't kidding. My guests on tonight's show are two Ohio natives who just happen to be major superstars here in New York City. From Wicked, Shrek the Musical, and The Lion King, actor and director Rob Sapp, and from Newsies, Gigi and Bandstand, actor Corey Cott. Rob is directing the performance of Smokey Joe's Cafe for the event, and Corey, along with his brother Casey, are honorary co-chairs. Way to pay it back, guys. So, let's bring them on. Folks, please welcome to the show actor-director Rob Sapp and actor Corey Cott from the upcoming Broadway Comes to Chagrin. Hi, guys, and welcome to your program, Here's Your Ticket.
Hi, Sean.
Hi.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, great to be here. Thank you.
It's my pleasure, and as I was saying earlier, I'm a little overwhelmed and kind of really nervous because I'm big fans of both of you and your shows, and I'm going to try not to fangirl too much for you.
Sounds good.
Okay, cool. Now, I've touched a little on your roles with this amazing event. Tell our audiences about your specific involvement in Broadway Comes to Chagrin.
Okay. Well, I guess
you want to go first.
Shall I?
Okay.
Yeah. All right. You take it. Well, I'm Rob Sapp, and I'm directing the evening's festivities. And I'm a Solon native, which is just right next door to Chagrin Falls. And I've spent a lot of time in Chagrin Falls with my former high school musical director, Pat Hainish. And she and I are collaborating on this project. And together we are pulling together our resources and, you know, creating an evening that's going to benefit a theater that is not just a cornerstone of the community, but that is, you know, as you said, an anchor of the Chagrin Valley. And a lot of talent has come from this area and this community. And, you know, it's a very sort of fertile garden that has grown a lot of talent that is here in New York. And, you know, I'm always looking for an opportunity to give back. And this just seemed like the perfect opportunity. So, and with, you know, talent like Corey and Casey that have actually come from Chagrin Falls, it was a no-brainer. So,
excellent,
yeah.
Corey.
And well, yeah. So Rob sort of, I think he just called me out of the blue a couple months ago and mentioned that this was happening. And being a native, I'm a native of Chagrin Falls. So the idea that that this would benefit the community. I never personally worked at Chagrin Valley Little Theater, but I saw many shows there and many friends that did shows there. I was immediately so pumped about the idea of doing something to benefit the theater community and to hopefully inspire the next generation of theater artists and to give back to the community that introduced me to theater. Literally, Rob was one of those people. It's crazy that we're doing this because Rob was, he'll be really modest about this, but Rob was really one of the first people that I ever met that was on Broadway. And he came to Chagrin and did a masterclass with a bunch of us when I was like a freshman in sophomore in high school or something like that, I think. Maybe it was like sophomore or junior. And he was like everything I wanted to be and in the business, and he still is. Like, I still look up to him that way. So the fact that we get to, I, first of all, I would do anything Rob asked me to do, and then second of all, the fact that we get to do something together is so cool for me. So, yeah. It's the best.
You give me too much credit.
No, I don't. It's completely true.
Well, it's a mutual respect because, you know, I look up to you as well. And, you know, just when you see what is possible when you have a community that supports the arts, you know, how can you not continue to help just sort of, you know, support that? Literally life-changing what can happen in these small towns and the greater impact that it could have. You know, I mean, think of what Corey has already given to the theater community as a whole, you know, I mean, and now the people that you're impacting. And
yeah, if we can go back and do the same thing that you were able to do with me to even more people, it's like the number is exponential of the number of people that could want to pursue this and change the community and the business. So yeah.
And it starts at the community level.
Yeah.
You know, it really starts in the homes. I think you had very supportive families that, got, you know, behind us and sort of said, yeah, you can do this. If this is something you want to do.
Yeah.
And I think there's so many, there's so much young talent that just needs that switch to go off in their heads. It's like, oh yeah, I can do something greater. I can do something more. I mean, teaching over the years, I've always been amazed at how, that possibility isn't apparent at first. And then when you see the light switch go off, I think of your brother all the time. Like when I first met your brother,
sure.
He sort of had his hair in his face and, had no interest really in being on stage. And, that switch went off for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes it just takes someone to say you can do it or get up there and do it.
Yeah. And that's at any age,
right?
Any level, that moment can happen. To sort of create the opportunity for somebody to realize that, I imagine, and I hope that we will touch people with this gala, people will come and leave there realizing that, the boundaries of their lives can just expand even just a little bit more. And that's exciting. That's living a full life,
Indeed. Did both of you come from families that have strong theater backgrounds?
Not particularly. My dad's a musician, so he was a performer, but I never knew him as such because he sort of gave it up before I could remember. Now he's had a return to his, he's in a band, that plays around Cleveland, and he's sort of living his teenage years again with his mom.
That's awesome.
Fun.
Yeah.
Fully Assembled?
Oh my gosh. Well, that was the band he was in, Fully Assembled. Yeah, the band he's in now is Chance.
Wow, cool.
Which is they're pretty popular in the Cleveland area and around that area. But no Broadway people in my family. In fact, I didn't see a Broadway show until I was 18 at the Niederlander.
Oh, no way. Rent?
Yeah. Rent was the first Broadway show I ever saw.
It's a good first one.
Yeah.
It's my favorite show ever.
Yeah. One of mine, too, because it was...
Yeah, it's a terrific show. What about you, Corey? Did you come from a theater family?
No theater. We were exposed to it, though. My parents would make an effort to take us to see things. We'd see everything. We were very well-rounded. We would go, we all played sports, and we would go, watch various, we lived in Michigan when I was a little kid, so we'd go see Tigers games and Pistons games. And then when we moved to Cleveland when I was 12, we would go see everything at Playhouse Square, and we would go to Cavs games too, and we would, we'd do everything. So they always made an effort to expose us to it and expose us to the arts. I had to take piano lessons when I was a kid, and I hated it. But my mom made me. But I also played every sport, and I took voice lessons in middle school and high school, and was in choir. But I'd also was like involved with a ton of various after school things, So they were really good about exposing us to everything and letting us figure out what we liked. But besides that, no, we didn't. My parents aren't actors or anything like that.
The reason why I ask is because oftentimes it's these mentors that we have that come along in high school or even middle school or junior high or whatever your particular school system calls it, that flick on the switch. Because I came from a family that could care less about theater.
Sure.
If I went to the theater, it's because I got my car and drove there and paid for it. So I agree with you. I think it's just so important to really go back and praise those people and help them. And I think it's really cool what you're doing. Now, you mentioned that you had a specific Ohio mentor, right?
Yes.
That you're working with on this show.
That's correct.
Okay. Tell me a little bit more about her.
She and her former late husband were the people who came into our community, started a theater program, and in about 2 years' time, 70, 80 people on stage doing these shows. And it wasn't, for me, a situation where I thought, oh, well, I'm an outcast, so I'm going to go do theater, or I'm going to go find myself, you know, in theater. But that I looked around and I was like, I'm one of so many people who love doing this. And that makes me feel, you know, like I'm not the only one. And that gave me a tremendous amount of confidence. And they changed my life. Without that experience, we probably would not be sitting here having this conversation right now.
Yeah.
It was that kind of impact. In fact, he is the one who, people always ask me, how'd you become Rob with two B's? And I was always Robbie Sapp, growing up, R-O-B-B-I-E. And, you know, one day I opened a program and all of a sudden I saw he had chopped the I-E off my name. And he said, you know, I think you should go by Rob with two B's because you're Sapp with two P's. And you know, people will remember that and it's going to look more symmetrical. And I thought, oh my gosh, okay, all right. So I guess I'm Rob with two B's now.
Huh.
But anybody who knows me for a long time calls me Robbie still. You know, when I go home, I'm Robbie. And even here in the industry, a little bit, it's caught on. You know, when people hear that I was Robbie growing up, they
never
call me
do
Robbie.
That.
But yeah, I mean, even to, you know, even in sort of my identity in that way, they've impacted me. And, you know, I've always kept in touch with that, you know, those parts of my roots. And I remember I was doing Shrek in 2009, and I just had this sort of crazy idea sitting in my dressing room one day, like, I want to go back. I want to do something. I want to give back. And so Pat Hainish is her name, came to see the show, and we talked about it in my dressing room. And she said, you know, is that something you would consider doing? And I said, absolutely. Because I had come back and worked on Oklahoma.
Yep.
Right?
You choreographed.
Which Corey was playing Curly in.
Uh-huh.
And she said...
That was 10 years ago?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
It was probably like this... These 2 weeks.
Probably, yeah. This the same time of year.
Yeah.
Exactly.
10 years ago. Yeah.
Crazy.
And you also directed Music Man.
Which we ended up casting Corey's brother Casey as Harold Hill. It was double cast, in fact, so he was one of the Harold Hills.
Oh, gotcha.
And there was just something incredibly fulfilling about it, and I think it was because I got to continue to be a student of Pat's, a student of my students. You know, I came away from that feeling like I was the one who was being taught, you know, by these bright, talented, fearless high schoolers and younger. I want to say it was like fifth through 12th graders.
Jeez.
Maybe even younger. But, you know, I came away from that experience expanded in ways that I had never been, expanded. I mean, it changed my life. And that was where I was like, oh my gosh. These teachers can continue. These experiences can continue to change your life over and over again. And so I thought, I have to continue to invest in that. That I truly believe will make the world a better place. So she's remained my mentor, and you know, I will forever consider him a life changing mentor, Bob Keller.
Excellent. Very good
name.
Corey, what about you? Do you have any high school mentors?
Sure. I mean, I would say Rob was one of them definitely early on. Absolutely.
Sounds
in terms
like it.
Of, yeah, absolutely. I, I mean, there's so many people in my life I would consider a mentor. Even people outside the theater community and business that I still apply what they taught me. But Rob was definitely one of the first people to encourage me to keep doing it and taught me what it is to be not only a good actor and a good singer and a good artist, but a good person. And then I had a great acting teacher in Cleveland. I did a lot of theater that Rob did some theater at too, at a place next door to, in the county over from Chagrin, called Stagecrafters. They used the Orange High School facilities, which is just like a 10-minute drive away from Chagrin. But I did a lot of community theater there, and that was kind of the first place where I really, outside of my doing plays and musicals at Chagrin Falls High School, I kind of realized my passion even more so in this place, because it was a bunch of different kids from all over Cleveland coming to the theater here. And Jamie and Wendy Koth became big teachers and mentors to me there, as well as a friend of mine and former choir teacher at Chagrin, a guy named Yusef Hamid. He was a big inspiration to me too. But there are many people. I mean, my dad and my mom and dad are amazingly, as I said before, encouraging and guided me in many different ways. Still do to this day, obviously. And it's a multi-part answer to that question. But those are a few of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, I'm glad they encouraged you to play the piano, because that certainly paid off in your last show.
Well, yeah, it's a tricky, yeah. I mean, that's one of my biggest regrets, that I gave up playing piano, because I played until I was like 8 and I hated it. I hated it, so I didn't want to practice. I did not want to come home. I just wanted to play video games or do whatever else I wanted to do. And I really wish I stuck with it, because it made preparations for Bandstand very hard. But I guess I had somewhat of a foundation. But it was, I had kind of had to go back to square one and relearning how to play for Bandstand. But if you're listening and you are thinking about giving up piano, please do not give
stick
up with
piano. It's something I wish I would have done. Took it in college.
Yeah.
And taught myself to plunk out things. But
yeah. Yeah.
I wish if I could go back and do it again.
Yeah.
I would do more dance class and more piano lessons.
Yeah. Definitely. Definitely.
Well, I played music for about 10 years of my life, and then I stopped. And even though I didn't go back, I don't really have a need to go back to playing an instrument. But when I started writing musicals, it was helpful just to be able to speak the language.
Sure.
So when people were talking about different phrases with music, in words and terminology, I understood what they were saying.
Uh-huh.
I could talk to a composer. And so when I thought, oh my gosh, I'll never use this ever again in my entire life, it all came back to me. So you never know. But I wanted to say that I saw Bandstand twice. I actually interviewed Adam Wolf on this show, who was the pit drummer.
Yeah.
In Bandstand.
He's a Cleveland guy. Or he's an Ohio guy.
Yes. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
In Bandstand, it's a story of a band. And there's a drummer on stage, but there's also a drummer in the pit, and that's Adam Wolf. And he was great. But anyways, I was in the front row the second time I saw it, and somebody did ask, I just overheard someone say, is that really him playing the piano up there? And someone said, I believe it was somebody from the orchestra popped up and said, yes, they're all playing their own instruments up there.
It's true. Yeah, it's true. And it's cool because we've started gigging as a band since the show's closed. We've played Birdland 3 times. We're playing again there on May 28th. We're gonna do a little tour. We're gonna go to Vegas this summer. We're gonna go to Buffalo. We're hoping to go to Cleveland at some point too, which would be super cool because the show takes place in Cleveland. So it's kind of paid off that way, that we've continued to play and.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. Suf's the original new musical from Shayna Taub is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com.
So, the band.
Yes.
In Bandstand is actually going to tour.
Yeah.
And go to Vegas with it.
Yeah. We're going to play two shows at the Smith Center in Vegas.
That's awesome.
I know.
That's
so
cool.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
It's crazy. We like threw out this idea to them. And they were like, yeah, we'll give you, we'll take a risk and give you money to come play here. And hopefully we'll make some money back on it. We're like, okay, cool. So yeah, and our show, our shows, the Bandstand writers are from Vegas and live and work in Vegas still. So they have some connections there to hopefully bring in the, you know, the hometown feel to it. But yeah, yeah, it's been kind of a fruitful thing, and since the show's closed, so.
And can I just gush for a moment? Because I saw Bandstand.
It would take the pressure off of me.
But to see, I mean, you know, I saw you do that show, Corey, and you know, when you just see somebody who you've, you know, watched their journey, and you know, I think about us in the hallways of High School, like, you know, Pat wheeled out the keyboard.
Yep.
And you sang "I Can't Stand Still."
Yep.
From
yep.
Footloose.
Yep.
And yeah, I think you were like a junior.
I think I was. Yeah, I was probably
somewhere around.
I think I was a junior,
maybe even younger. Pat called and said, "There's a student here that is really, you know, I could tell he's got it. You know, will you come in and just."
Yeah,
you know,
help me
work with him a little bit and hear him sing. And yeah, sophomore, junior, somewhere around there.
Yeah,
and you know, I flash back to that, and then all of a sudden, I'm watching him living his downstage center, like only guy on stage in the spotlight, Broadway dreams. You know, it's just like
it's nuts.
You know, eyes tearing up, and like, you know, I got my Adam's apple is up on my soft palate. I'm, you know, and you know, I was at your first show for Newsies
because
I was talking to your mom.
Yes, you were. That's right.
Back and forth, and she was like, you know, oh my gosh, you know, Corey may go on any day. They're saying, you know, that you were maybe going to go on earlier.
Yeah, I did.
Yep,
I did. Yeah,
and so I was in touch with your mom, and you got the note. I think you got the notice like that day or something like that.
It was like the night before.
Assured her that there was going to be somebody there from.
Oh, man,
you know, from your...
Yeah, you were the Jeff Kelly alternate, and then eventually took over the role.
Yep, exactly.
I didn't see you because I saw it in Chicago.
Sure.
But I love the show.
Yeah, it's
incredible. And when I just seeing the twinkle in your eyes the first moment that you came on stage, and I was like, he is a star. Like, that's what it is. You know, it's just the capital I, capital T. Like, you either have it or you don't. And it was just so apparent from that moment, you know. And I remember calling your mom at intermission. And I was like, he's doing great.
You know, he hasn't fainted yet.
Like, oh, for your mom. But, yeah. You know, it's just, again, it's just these sort of surreal moments where it's just, you know.
But I've received that. Like, I've received that from Rob. I've received that firsthand of someone taking the time and risk to give that to the next generation of actors.
He's not going to let me just gush about it.
No, you know? So what I'm saying is, it comes back to what we're doing, is that like I feel like it's my duty to do that for someone else, you know, because we have to. It's like this baton that keeps getting passed.
It's true. Yeah, no, it is true. You have to, you know, pay it forward, you have to pay it backwards,
sure,
and, you know,
sure,
every which direction, because you just never know whose life it's going to touch and how that may just propel them forward on their journey.
Yeah.
When I started getting a little traction on my writing career and started to get successful about 6 years ago, I was in therapy. I'm that neurotic. I have to go to therapy for success.
Oh, that's not... don't be ashamed of that.
No, it's
insane. But my therapist, who worked with people in the entertainment industry, said that you will always enjoy this business if you make it about the relationships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you put the relationships first and you always remember those, you'll have fun and you'll meet wonderful people.
Yeah.
And it will be a really nice experience because there's so much difficulty. There's so many ups and downs and so much competitiveness. And
yeah, true.
If you could put all that aside and just really help people out and be nice to people, I think that's the best advice I've got from anybody on this whole entire journey for me. Now, Rob, I have to say that I know that you played Bach in Wicked.
I did.
You did, and I see Wicked like every 6 weeks. I am that much of a Wicked person. I love it. Okay,
and I haven't seen it. I think the 10-year anniversary was the last time I saw it.
I think I saw it like 6 weeks ago, so I'm probably due. I've seen it so many times.
You've seen it a few years.
It's been four or five years. It's been a minute since I saw it. Yeah.
I've been there so many times that like I try to get like the same front row seat on the side, and like this, there was a Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS night, and I went out and put a 20 in the bucket, and the lady that was there was in the, she's like, oh hi, yeah, you sit in the front row all the time, you're here a lot, aren't you? She actually knew me, and I thought, oh my god, I'm a 13-year-old girl.
Oh man, that's good.
I sat in the front row the very first time I saw the show, in fact, and I just remember looking up just thinking, they're all so lucky.
Yeah.
You know, that was the thought that I had. They're all so lucky to be up on that stage. So it was always a special moment for me to be right down stage in the opening and make eye contact with those front row people.
I don't remember you necessarily, but the first Broadway show I ever saw was Wicked, and
really?
You were in it, I think. I'm pretty sure, because it was like in the fall of 2004, and you were probably still in it then, right?
Yeah, fall of 2004 is when I went into it, actually.
Sure, thing. Okay.
But I was doing the ensemble. I went in, I replaced an original ensemble member inside the first year, right?
Yeah, I definitely saw Chris Fitzgerald as Bach, but you,
okay.
I bet
so
you
I was covering Chris at that time, yeah, in the fall, and then took over, I think about a year later. So I was playing Bach, the infamous Edina fall, through the trapdoor moment. I remember in that one.
You were Bach then.
Yeah,
I did this
little stint. I covered between Chris Fitzgerald and Jeffrey Kuhn. They didn't have somebody, so I got bumped up. And all the creators came for her last week, and that's how I got the job, because they all saw me do the role.
Oh my gosh.
That week.
And that's the performance where like they had to call in Shoshana Bee to take over.
It was so wild. I had just gotten out of the shower, washing all the silver off me, getting back into my my costume for curtain call, and all of a sudden we hear over the the backstage PA the announcement that the show is being held, and so I ran downstairs, and it was just like everybody was on stage, and it was pretty wild. Yeah, Dina was on her back with her head in her dresser's lap, and we didn't know I didn't know what had happened, and it was so wild.
It's a very active show. You guys are all over the place. I've often said that like my fantasy is to like go and like sit on a really tall speaker backstage, just and be quiet and watch the whole thing unfold in front of me backstage. I think that would be super cool.
There's a really cool vantage point actually backstage at the Gershwin, up by the stage manager's office, where you could sort of overlook backstage and you can see everything going on, and you can see the stage, and it is kind of cool to go up there. It was cool for me to just sort of take it all in.
So lucky. So lucky.
I consider myself lucky. Yeah.
Also, you were in, if I'm not mistaken, Meet Me in St. Louis. Were you in a production?
I did that in St. Louis, in fact, which was very cool, in Forest Park at the Muni. So actually where the show takes place.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that was
cool. Love that movie. I had to bring that up because I love that movie, and you played Lon.
I did play Lon, and yeah.
So it just,
and Max von Essen.
Oh, no way.
And Bryn O'Malley was Esther.
Good cast.
The cast was phenomenal. Catherine Walker was Rose. It was just a phenomenal, phenomenal experience.
Charm Despair.
Steamboat Artist.
It's a show I've been chasing forever and ever and ever. And also, Corey, I saw you and Gigi.
Oh, amazing.
I really, really loved.
Oh, thank you.
I did.
Means a lot.
With Vanessa Hudgens.
Yeah.
It was a really, really good fun show, and I enjoyed it. It was light and funny and emotional at times, and it was nice. And of course, I walked home singing "The Night They Invented Champagne."
Of course,
yes, of course.
Did you have some champagne? No.
I didn't. I don't drink, but maybe I stopped and got some sparkling apple cider. Who knows?
Sure.
Now, Rob, I understand that you've been very instrumental in bringing on other esteemed, talented performers for the show. Tell me a little bit about them.
Well, you know, you talked earlier about relationships and how important those are in this industry, in any industry, just in life. And so much of this is based on my relationships with these people. I'm looking at this casting sheet, and it's all people I've worked with and had, you know, a long, wonderful relationships with. And, you know, basically what I did is I sat, and this is a show I've always wanted to stage. And I thought, wow, you know, I just with so many of the talented friends that I know of, I feel like this would be just one that would be just stellar to do. And so I immediately just, my wheels started turning. And I just, like Corey said, I just started making phone calls. After we had a couple meetings about this idea in Sugar and Falls, I thought, yeah, I think I can pull this off. I really think, you know, I think I can. I think, first of all, everybody would love to sing the music.
Yeah, sure.
So many well-known songs in the show. And you know, fun for the cast, fun for the audience, fun for the, you know, production team.
Sure.
And so I just started putting out phone calls and put together sort of a dream cast. And I was just so amazed and excited by how quickly people were, you know, I barely got half a sentence out of my mouth, and they're like, yes, yeah. Where is this? Yes, I'll do it. You know, when is it? And, you know, of course, then my big fear was, oh, I'm going to get everybody to say yes, and then everybody's going to say no because they're so talented and they're, you know, they work so much in the industry. But by the grace of the theater gods and goddesses, everybody's remained available, which is great. But I look at this list and, you know, we have people from Wicked, Lion King, In the Heights, Mamma Mia,
sure,
Les Mis, an original Jersey Boy, Daniel Reichert, who is also a Cleveland native. He was the original Bob Gaudio in Jersey Boys.
Love that show.
Yeah, I do too. So everybody just, it felt, you know, I think because, you know, obviously because of the giving back element, but I think also because, you know, the friendships and the relationships. And I think if somebody called me, anybody on this list, you know, or Corey called me and said, hey, do you want to be a part of something, you know, without asking too many questions, I'd be like, sure.
Yeah.
What is it, you know?
Yeah.
So.
The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Well, Smokey Joe's Cafe has great songs like Hound Dog, Love Potion Number 9, On Broadway, and Stand By Me.
That's right.
So those are very enticing, I would imagine, for a singer.
Sure.
Absolutely. In fact, I just handed off music to one of the cast members, the New York cast members, last night, and she goes, you know, I didn't know too much of the music, and now the songs that she said, the songs that she was learning, she wants to continue to sing, to put in her audition book. You know, she's genuinely excited about the material, and she said it's been a joy to practice and to get a jump start on the music. So, you know, it's just, it's all the songs are infectious, and it's a toe tapper. People are going to be leaving the theater humming these songs. We're going to need to put a new roof on the place, actually, I think.
Once,
if they didn't need one before, they're going to need one now. We will blow the roof off of this theater with these voices paired with this music. And a band. We're going to have, obviously, a live band on stage. I think six or seven pieces led by Pat Hainish.
Awesome.
And they're going to just rock it out as well. I wish we were doing more than one night, actually.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be incredible.
Your guys' excitement is, like, super infectious. I'm glad that you're so excited about doing something this wonderful. It's really cool, and it warms my heart. It really does. I'm not just being, sorry, sappy. I'm just saying, it warms my heart. It really does.
Yeah, well, that's good. I mean, that's, you know, it that's the idea, is that, you know, it touches a heartstring, and that, you know, that it's about the community aspect. And, you know, this isn't a business venture for us.
Right.
This is a project of passion, and you know, leading with the heart on this one. And what's joyous about it is that, you know, the business piece sort of follows along with it, which is these relationships that we've created in the business.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
This week I have a very fortunate opportunity, in addition to this fortunate opportunity of talking to you two gentlemen. Tomorrow I'm going to go to Easton, Pennsylvania to interview the administrators of an award ceremony called the Freddies. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, but it is a high school award ceremony that actually is the subject of a documentary called Most Valuable Players. It's on Netflix. And it's really, really, it's a great, great documentary. I watched it when I was in Chicago, and you know, I'm like, oh, maybe I'll, you know, watch it if I fall asleep. Cut to 2 hours later, and I'm crying. And and so it's so great to today be interviewing two gentlemen who have successful New York Broadway careers, and then sort of like go backwards and be interviewing people who are providing opportunities to high school students to really just feed their theater wants and needs and dreams. So that being said, in closing, what kind of advice or words of encouragement do you have for the aspiring theater students of Chagrin Falls, Eastern Pennsylvania, or anywhere in the world?
I feel like I get asked that question a lot. I don't know if you get asked it a lot, but and it's always so daunting to me because I feel like my first bit of advice is that there's no formula for success, other than there are virtues and values that will point you in that direction, which include hustle. That's like my word I like to use. You always have to hustle. That never ends. I'm hustling right now more than I have in a long time, and it's humbling, but it's how you just have to. It's a quality that every successful person in the theater business and not will tell you that you have to have.
Sure.
And then with hustle goes hard work and always having a curious mind of wanting to learn and get better at whatever it is you do. But then there are just human qualities that I think are necessary to keep, including, you know, humility, kindness, graciousness, willing to collaborate. You know, those qualities that just make you a decent person. I think I'd always rather work with people like that over talented jerks, you know? So, you always just, I don't know. I try to boil it down to just those things, hustle and just be a good person, because I think those will, if you really, really stick to those things, that you will find success in whatever you're doing. But in the same way, like, There are ways that are technical that can point you in good directions too. If you get training at a good school versus get training in a not good school, you're going to be in a better path to success. There's things like that are definitely worth considering and looking at in a very technical sense. But generally, I would say those first things I said are the best advice I think I could give.
Terrific.
I would agree with that 100%. And you know, the only thing I would, you know, add to that is just that, you know, allow the, you know, don't let the no's stop you.
Yeah.
Let the no's guide you. Someone once said to me that, you know, a no isn't a dead end. It's pointing you towards your yes. That's something that's always stuck with me because we hear no so much.
Yep.
Day
I heard it today.
Yeah. I did too, actually.
Yeah.
And, you know, that doesn't mean that that's a door closing, but that it's just sort of forcing you to just look in a different direction towards, you know, the door that is open.
Yeah.
And there's always an open door.
Yep.
So, you know, it's the mindset that you have to sort of adopt if you want to stay in this industry and continue to love it and continue to be fulfilled by it and to not let that sort of self-doubt is so just always ready there to just creep in. You know, if you could just sort of keep that at bay by saying, you know, self-doubt, go sit down.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
you know, and
everyone has that. Everyone has that.
No matter what you're doing,
why we don't talk about that more often.
It's I think because so much of this industry is about presenting yourself as, you know, I'm successful. I've got so many things going on, and I don't need to worry about where my next job is coming from because I know, and you know, I'm saying no to everything instead of everything saying no to me, and I have to figure out how to make that work.
Yeah.
But it's so true.
Yeah,
it's so true.
We all
people
have that.
Really don't talk about that. I mean, I guess when you're having a one-on-one, it's easier to talk about than when you're out schmoozing and somebody, you know, it's all about talking about, you know. What's that thing in the business where someone says, how are you doing? Oh, well, I'm doing this. And I'm doing
right.
No, I didn't ask what you're doing.
Right. How are you?
How
the person?
Are you? Yeah. What's going on?
Yeah.
And, you know, I would be remiss to not also mention that, you know, we've talked about the New York talent that's coming to be a part of this, but there's actually local Cleveland talent that's going to be a part of this as well.
So awesome.
We opened this opportunity up 17 and older, and we actually have a couple 18, 19 year olds from the community who are going to be a part of this. One is still in high school, which is super exciting, actually at the academy.
Oh, no way.
And then we have, you know, just people from all over the area we have two local professional performers. And, you know, so we're sort of infusing this thing with all the levels of you know, performers. And that's going to be really exciting, too, because everybody's going to get to gain something from being a part of that. And then the community and the schools get to gain, you know, I think, as well from having people involved with it as well. So, and if anybody wants information about the event, they can visit CVLT.org, I believe is what it is. Do we have that information?
I do. I was going to mention that in my class.
Oh, okay.
I have a couple of different...
What a segue.
You know, just in an effort to get anybody information who might be interested in supporting, or if they find themselves in the Cleveland area or have wanderlust and want to come join us in the Cleveland area, you know, that's the place to go to find the info.
Yeah, cool.
And I believe they can also donate as well, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, great.
Absolutely. This is a fundraiser after all. You know, we are raising funds, so, you know, we welcome those in any form.
Exactly.
And through any channel.
Absolutely.
So.
Well, you guys have been delightful.
Oh,
you've been delightful.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah,
it's been
you.
Awesome. It's just been such a great experience leading up to it, and getting to spend the afternoon with you has been so nice.
It's been my pleasure entirely. I know I was a little nervous, but it's again, I've followed your careers, and I think that you're both extremely talented, and I'm glad that we could have this conversation to show that you're not just talented gentlemen, but you're also gracious, kind, nice gentlemen who are who give back. I just think it's really cool.
Thanks, man.
So thank you for being with us. Oh, my pleasure.
Thank you for the cookies and the water.
Yeah, seriously.
I come prepared. I try to.
It's like you've done this before.
I got it. Once or twice. Not my first time. Again, thank you for being with us, actor-director Rob Sapp and actor Corey Cott, director and honorary co-chair, respectively, from the upcoming Broadway Comes to Chagrin. Well, folks, the proverbial 11 o'clock number has been sung and the vows have been taken, so it's time to lower the curtain. Once again, I want to thank Rob and Corey. You guys were amazing. For complete information on Broadway Comes to Chagrin, please visit their website, wonderfully designed by the lovely Jill Markey, at www.broadwaycomestochagrin.org. That's .org. Just keep that in mind. Also, please visit the Chagrin Valley Little Theater website at http://cvlt.org. That's cvlt.org. Or you could just, I'm sure you can just find them looking them up on Yahoo or Google as well. And also, go see their current show. It's The Country House by Donald Margulies, whose brother Howard, who is a terrific writer, comic strip artist, and a great friend, is featured on this show. He is episode 10. He is really, really, really funny. I think it's just him just talking and me giggling the entire time. So but please go back and listen to his episode as well. And go see The Country House. It's a great, great play. I saw it twice in L.A., and I loved it. As far as my show goes, you can find more episodes of Your Program Is Your Ticket at facebook.com/programisyourticket. I'm on Twitter at programticket. The website is yourprogramisyourticket.com, if that makes sense. And I'm on iTunes and SoundCloud. Rate me, write me a review, subscribe, all that helps with my profile, and I appreciate it. Folks, take a little time to see a show this week, and don't forget to give a smaller show some love. There's lots of theater gems out there. And until our next show, good night, theater people, and Kirk.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.